Greetings and good morning. Thank you for choosing KVNF, Mountain Grown Community Radio. My name is Eric Gould. It's 8 o'clock, and here is your local newscast for Monday, November 5th. Both presidential campaigns are working overtime in the home stretch to try to mobilize their bases and get voters to the polls. In Colorado, where the race is seen as a toss-up, the ground game will be especially important. Benta Berkland talked with grassroots volunteers from both campaigns out on the front lines.
Gary Fisk is a civil engineer who lives in Pine, Colorado, in the foothills west of Denver. He says he's been volunteering for Mitt Romney's campaign for about a month, mainly writing postcards and making phone calls after work.
Hi, Grant. My name's Gary. I'm volunteering today for Mitt Romney and the Republican Party. How are you? Good. Well, we appreciate your support, and anyone else you know that may be on the fence, you're the best person to reach them.
Fisk is a lifelong Republican and says the bad economy and high national debt pushed him to get involved.
It's going to be a hole that we cannot dig ourselves out of unless we act now. And so I felt that it was urgent that we act. In my own personal budget, I can't overspend. I can't understand why the federal government can overspend, and my kids and grandkids are going to have to pay for that.
Fisk and other GOP activists here in the battleground of Jefferson County are crowded into the party's local headquarters. It's a potluck dinner, and people munch on treats as they make calls. It's also Women for Mitt Night, and unaffiliated voter Mary Lewandowski is volunteering for the first time.
It's kind of like going to the health club. I think about it a lot, but don't ever go. And I just feel very compelled right now because we're getting down to the wire, and the election is so close, and I just want to do whatever I can to help get out that extra vote.
Lewandowski says she didn't vote for President Barack Obama, and she doesn't feel he has the qualifications to be president. But she likes what she sees in Romney.
I just trust him. I think that his values and his morals and his outlook are what this country needs.
As the election draws closer, the campaigns say they're running into fewer and fewer undecided voters. But Romney supporters say they're still going after that vote. Meanwhile, President Obama's volunteers are hitting the streets, trying to make sure their supporters are going to the polls and voting. They're focusing less on independents.
Let's really push hard. One more door, one more vote, because it's going to be that close. So thank you guys so much. Let's go get to work.
All right.
About 20 volunteers are getting a pep talk before heading door-to-door themselves in Jefferson County. Architect Steve Newman says he started volunteering over the summer, and it's the first time he's ever worked on a political campaign. Like Mary Lewandowski, the Romney supporter, Newman says the election is too close to sit on the sidelines.
It's been amazing to me how positive folks have been. I mean, I've never had a door slammed in my face, and never had anybody be mean. They kind of see that you're participating in the process.
Newman says his top issue is government investment in the design and construction industries.
There's 25% to 30% unemployment, and I believe that government's a big part of this economy and certainly drives a lot of business in design and construction.
The Obama campaign also relies heavily on neighborhood team leaders such as Barbara Sweeney. The retired high school art teacher lives in Lakewood and has worked on the campaign for about a year and a half. Volunteers come to her home and she sets them up with material to knock on doors. She says campaign fatigue has been a problem she's run up against as she tries to mobilize potential voters.
We're working so hard. We've made so many phone calls. We've knocked on so many doors, and everybody's tired of it. It's something I passionately believe in, and I'm going to keep doing it. I'm sorry if it offends you, but I want to see this president reelected.
Sweeney has a personal pitch. At 61, she has a pre-existing medical condition, and that's one of the main reasons she's a fan of the new health care law. She's also critical of Mitt Romney's stances on women's issues.
You know, he did put Ryan on the ticket. I do not want to see Roe versus Wade reversed because it will endanger the lives of many women. When I had my second child, I couldn't afford the COBRA for the insurance. Planned Parenthood took care of me through a grant for that whole year, all my health needs.
The suburban women's vote will be key for either candidate trying to win Colorado and, in particular, Jefferson County. Polls across the country show the race tightening, which makes the role of the grassroots volunteers even more crucial in the final push up to Election Day. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
The Delta County Department of Health and Human Services saw a huge increase in West Nile virus cases this year compared to last. The county's 2012 year-to-date total is 35 human cases of West Nile virus and one fatality, compared to one case and no fatalities in all of 2011. According to Delta County Health Officer Bonnie Kohler, the cases span the summer, reported from late July through mid-October. They also spanned a wide range of ages and came from all parts of the county and affected males and females almost equally. Improved access to broadband internet is starting to become a reality for Colorado, even the rural Western Slope. The EagleNet Alliance was given a grant in September 2010 to build the EagleNet, a broadband network around the state. KVNF's Arianna Brocious spoke to EagleNet Alliance Regional Representative Patrick Swanger about the project and its regional impacts.
Pat, can you briefly explain what EagleNet is?
EagleNet is a consortium, a cooperative, intergovernmental agency that's focused specifically on telecommunications, on middle mile infrastructure here in Colorado.
So what's middle mile for those who don't quite understand that?
I think the best analogy is a highway analogy because, you know, that gets away from the bits and the bytes and the things that causes people's eyes to glaze over. But essentially, we're putting in a data interstate that's not in place presently. It's both fiber optic and microwave. So we're bringing a gigabit network to 170 communities across Colorado. And this is a contiguous network, which means you can do a lot of things on this network without even using the internet. So in simple terms, we're providing that interstate highway that's been lacking.
How is this project funded?
The project's funded through the NTIA, and that's from the American Reinvestment and Recovery Act.
So stimulus money?
That's correct. And it's kind of the way I relate this to people and understand it's real similar to the interstate highway system being built back in the 50s. This is something that there's no other way that this would get done. There's no profit in it, or it would have already been completed. Much of this network is in areas that are unprofitable. We designated school districts as the target because there's a correlation between where school districts are located and where people live. So there's an equity component that brings into it. And it sounds like a lot of money, $100 million, but when you're trying to address all the problems with broadband in Colorado, it just scratches the surface. So it's really about a beginning, and that from here, we're going to be able to move forward to make additional additions, improvements to this network. So this grant enabled us to begin the EagleNet Alliance, this intergovernmental entity that will own this network.
EagleNet is not an actual internet provider, but this should enable more connectivity and possibly even more affordable connectivity. Can you explain how EagleNet will interface with existing internet providers?
Well, the most important thing about what we're doing is that we have an open access network, which means that anybody can get on, any commercial provider can utilize this network if they come into an agreement with it, so that they can provide services down to the community level for ISPs existing in their communities. And although the school districts are the target of the fiber optic connection or microwave connection into each community, we also provide excess bandwidth to internet service providers and carriers so that they can provide additional bandwidth to their customers in these communities. So what we are seeing is, number one, we're driving costs of internet down, of bandwidth. Number two, they don't have to invest in the middle mile infrastructure that there's no profit in investing. So we're seeing new carriers coming into markets because they can get there without the investment of the middle mile, which has kept them out.
So what's the progress of this project so far?
Well, we're in the final year of implementation, and the core network or peering ring goes around the state. It runs from Denver across I-70 to Grand Junction, down to Durango, back across to Pueblo, up through Colorado Springs. That's the peering ring. And then all the peripherals go out from there to connect the different communities. So a lot of the focus this year has been on the peering ring. And most of our Western Slope construction has been completed. We'll finish that up next year. Our goal is to fiber all of 550 from Durango all the way to Grand Junction to put infrastructure and fiber optic backbone where people actually live.
And I know that there's been some criticism of this project that some of the fiber has gone in places that are already oversaturated, you could argue, or that have a lot of connectivity, whereas places like Silverton are sort of later in getting connected. What's your response to that?
Well, I think it's really based on misunderstanding that, first of all, our network is completely open, and the fiber that's out there right now is not. It's owned by some telecommunications concern. It's up to them to decide who uses it and how they use it. It's not enough to have fiber there. If we can't get onto that fiber, it's worthless to us. So we've saved quite a bit of money that we're using to improve the network by leasing fiber wherever we can. It's much cheaper to lease than it is to install it. So our network is going to serve many different customer bases out there because we have the ability to have this contiguous network. And the most important part of it, it's open access.
Why is broadband important?
Without information, our communities, especially rural communities in Colorado, are left behind and will continue to be further behind with each passing month. So this is an excellent way to make up a lot of that ground and to bring people into our communities that are location neutral, and they can contribute mightily to our communities as well as the educational resources we can bring in. There's so many different impacts that broadband will have for Colorado, and that's the most exciting part about this. It really is a frontier.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The infrastructure in the KVNF listening area should be completed by the end of the year. Then we'll need to be connected with the greater whole. The entire project should be completed by next August. Nightfall comes early after yesterday's time change, and that means increased chances for motorists to hit wildlife on the road. According to Colorado Parks and Wildlife, November is a dangerous month for motorists and wildlife because commuters will be driving at dusk when visibility is poor and wildlife is most active. Deer are extremely vulnerable because November is the peak of their mating season. If an animal is hit, wildlife officials advise drivers to immediately report the incident to the police and call 911 if there are any human injuries. Colorado Parks and Wildlife requires that people who wish to salvage roadkill apply for a permit within 48 hours. The agency reminds drivers to slow down, stay alert, and scan ahead to reduce chances for a collision. And that concludes the local newscast for Monday. For KVNF, Mountain Grown Community Radio, this is Eric Gould. I'll be back tomorrow with coverage of the election. Have a great day, and thanks so much for listening.